Praise God.
Amen.
We are looking at the Exodus account from Egypt. And how it is a template, a model of our salvation experience. And yesterday we began the journey in Egypt. Like the person who is in the world and needs to come out of the world to be saved. Went through the Red Sea like our baptism experience. And now after a number of trials and testings, we have come to Mount Sinai, where Moses received the law, which represents our baptism in the Holy Spirit experience, where God pours out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, writes the law of God on our hearts, fills us with the power of the Holy Spirit to empower us for good works. And until you have received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, you will not have the power you need to continue in the journey. But in order to receive the baptism, you need to ascend the hill of the Lord. And we saw we are not called to Mount Sinai, we are called to Mount Zion, where Christ was crucified. And we are called to ascend the hill of the Lord. But in Psalm 24, verses 3 to 6, it says, "Who may ascend the hill of the Lord? And who may stand in his holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor has sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing of the Lord. He shall receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit and righteousness from the God of his salvation." This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. If we have dirty hands and a dirty heart, we cannot ascend the hill of the Lord. We will not be able to receive that impartation of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God calls his people to have clean hands and a pure heart. And he says to such people, "These are the generation of those who seek me. They shall receive the blessing of the Lord. They shall ascend my mountain and receive the empowering of the Holy Spirit." Amen.
Amen.
So Moses has gone up the mountain. The people of Israel stood at the foot of the mountain. And they heard the words of God Almighty as he recited his words, his Ten Commandments. And the people have agreed with God, saying, "All the words which the Lord has spoken, we will do."
Do you mind what the Lord wants you to do?
Moses has then read from the book of the covenant in our hearing. What God expects of us and what He will do to us. And He has then sprinkled us with the blood of the covenant. So that we are now under the blood of the covenant, the Mosaic covenant. And once again our response has been, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And be obedient. This is like the believer today who says, Lord, I receive you as my Savior. I'm going to live for you. I declare you are the Lord of my life. But sometimes words are easy, but actions are more difficult. But because the children of Israel are now under the blood, God allows Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel to accompany Moses and go up the mountain. And they saw the God of Israel. And under his feet there appeared to be a pavement of sapphire. As clear as the sky itself. They ate and drank in the presence of God Almighty. Yet he did not stretch out his hand against them. Why? Because they were under the blood. And we need to be under the blood so that God does not strike us down. The leaders of Israel have an amazing revelation of the God of all the earth. A revelation that is supposed to strengthen them in the faith. And a revelation they are then to communicate to those underneath them. And in Exodus 24, verses 17 and 18, to the eyes of the sons of Israel, the appearance of the glory of the Lord was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses entered the midst of the cloud as he went up the mountain. And Moses was on the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. So this is where we have got to in our story. Many miraculous encounters with the divine. We are now encamped in front of the mountain, which is still covered with a cloud and has consuming fire at the top. We have been brought into a blood covenant with the Almighty. And repeatedly instructed in the words of His covenant. The very first of words are of that covenant. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. These were the first words of the covenant. You shall not make for yourself an idol of any likeness of what is in heaven above or on earth beneath. You shall not worship them or serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Did you know that the God you serve is a jealous God? It is one of his characteristics. He is not jealous with a sensual jealousy. Like a man might be jealous of his wife or a wife jealous of her husband. Our God is jealous with a holy jealousy for the honor of his own name. And God is jealous for the honor of his own name, that it was is magnified as it ought to be. God says in his word, I will give my glory, I will not give my glory to any other. I am the Lord your God, you shall serve me only. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me. God is jealous for the honor of his own name. And you need to understand that if you are ever to walk with this holy God. He will not share his glory with any man or anything. And we serve the same jealous God today. What is the first commandment we are living under the new covenant? Does anybody remember from yesterday? Amen. Amen. This means we put God first in everything. Did you know God did not save you in the first instance so you could go to heaven? Most people think God saved me so I can go to heaven. Going to heaven is a byproduct of God's plan of salvation. In the first instance, God has saved you in order to display his greatness and his great name through you. Amen.
Amen.
Going to heaven is a byproduct, it is an added bonus. Because in heaven, everything is designed to bring praise to the one who sits upon the throne. You have been saved that you may display forth his greatness, his glory, his goodness.
In
That's why he wishes to conform you to the image of Christ. Because Christ glorified his Father in everything he did. And the calling we have is to honor the name of the Lord our God Almighty. In all my speech, in all my thoughts, and in all my actions. And if I cannot say I am glorifying the Lord in what I am doing, I should not be doing that thing. To glorify the Lord is the greatest calling a man could ever possess. To be a channel of glory being given to the Lord Almighty. Yet many times we reject this call. Because we want our own names to be exalted rather than God's name. God will be first in everything in our lives. And he has written that command in by his finger of his Holy Spirit upon your heart. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your strength. Our God will not share his glory with another. So Moses has gone up the mountain. He was up the mountain for 40 days and for 40 nights. And the children of Israel had to wait at the foot of the mountain. And they are waiting for up to 5-6 weeks. But what happened during those 5 to 6 weeks? Anybody remember? Exodus 32. Verses 1 to 35. When the people saw that Moses delayed to come down from the mountain, the people assembled about Aaron and said to him, "Come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses, the man who brought us out of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." The people have just agreed to obey the Lord in everything they do. They have heard God's commandments, "You shall have no other God beside me." Just 5 to 6 weeks later, they're making a molten calf. The leaders like Aaron had gone up and had seen what God looks like. They knew that God was holy. And it was up to the leaders to stop this thing immediately. But Aaron is a weak leader. God save us from weak leaders today. The Bible says Aaron was Moses' spokesman. He was good at speaking. Just because you are good at speaking does not mean you are a strong, good leader. Amen. Some people are very good at speaking and preaching, and people think, wow, what a great preacher. But they are not strong in their heart before God. The people pressurize Aaron to make them gods. And he gives in to them. And they give generously to the effort. The gold that should have been given as an offering to the true God. Is now taken off their ears and the ears of their children. To make into an image that they think it looks like God. The people give very sacrificially. And appear very sincere, very devoted to their image. But all for nothing. The next day they rose up early and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. It is amazing how zealous people can be worshipping a piece of metal. It's amazing how zealous the Catholics can be to worship a statue of Mary. If you say anything against Mohammed, the Muslims will get crazy. Because Mohammed has become their idol. And if you say anything against Mohammed, they will run to get a machete and cut you. Because Mohammed has become their idol. Or if you take their holy book, their Quran, and you throw it on the floor and rip it, what's going to happen? They're going to come and have a riot. Because their Quran has become their idol. It's amazing how devoted people can be to an idol. I was in Nigeria a few years ago. And the village I went to, they had a village idol. And the people were devoted to this idol. And if you tried to take away that idol or do anything to it, they would become very violent with you. Because people have a devotion to their idols. But an idol can be anything in our lives. That comes before God and us. Today in England, many people's idol is their football team. And they will Arsenal, Man City. They wear the colors of their team. And they organize themselves to go to fight against the other team. or to fight against the fans of the other team, to show how devoted they are to their team. They will travel many thousands of miles to show how devoted they are to support their team. They have devotion to their idol. Mankind has an inner need to worship something greater than himself. And if we do not worship the living God, we will give our worship to something or someone else. To erect an idol is to put anything before God in our hearts. The standard of God is to love him with all of your heart. And if you love something more than God, that thing has become an idol in your heart. To some people, their family could become their idol. Maybe a man falls in love with a woman. Or a woman falls in love with a man, but he's not a believer. But she idolizes this man. And she says, okay, I won't go to church anymore just to get this man. She is putting something before God, an idol. Amen. Sometimes what we have, like our mobile phone, can become an idol. I see people who will not pray for 5 minutes, but will be on that mobile phone for 5 hours. Fiddling with their phone for 5 hours. Because that phone has become their idol. Sometimes a new car can become our idol. Any possession we get can become our idol. If we love it more than God himself. What about the church or our ministry? Many times a pastor can idolize his ministry, his position, more than the God who gave him that position. As long as he has the position, he is happy and he preaches and everything is wonderful. But take away his position and his title and he will be nothing. He would not be willing to do the same things even if he does not have the title or position. Some people love their titles and their position more than the God who gave them that. And that's very dangerous because it seems spiritual. Because we deceive ourselves that we are doing the works of God, therefore it must be right. Amen.
Amen.
Some people idolize their churches more than God. Amen.
Amen.
If you have to take someone else to the law courts in order to protect your idol, your church, or your ministry, that proves that that thing has become your idol. Amen.
Amen.
Many of us are idol worshippers. But we don't realize it. Because we do not realize the standard God has set. And what it really means to love the Lord your God with all your heart. Our God is great. We serve a great God. He will only be God of all or else not at all. You cannot be a half-hearted Christian. It must be all or nothing with us. And unless we are wholehearted in our devotion to God, we will never make it past the golden calf. Amen.
Amen.
In Psalm 135, verses 15 to 18, it says, the idols of the nations are but silver and gold. The work of man's hands. They have no mouths. Sorry, they have mouths, but they do not speak. They have eyes, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Nor is there any breath in their mouths. Those who make them will be like them. Amen.
Amen.
They who put up or erect an idol in their hearts, will become like the idol that they erect in their heart. They will lose their sense of hearing the voice of God. They will lose their spiritual perception, their spiritual sight. And eventually they will lose their sense of the breath of God within them. Those who make them will be like them. When Jesus spoke to the peoples around him, he said, you have ears, but you cannot hear. You have eyes, but you cannot see. And it's very frustrating sometimes being a Bible teacher, trying to give people spiritual insight and spiritual vision. And you realize the people have no ears to hear. They listen and they listen and they listen, but they do not hear what you are saying. Those who make idols will become like the idols. They will lose their ability to hear the voice of God. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. But most people have no ears to hear. Those who make them will be like them. But if you take the same people and start talking about their favorite football team or their favorite idol, all of a sudden their face will brighten. And they can tell you all the statistics of their football team or whatever's their idol. They know the names of all the star players, how many times they've played and how many goals they've scored. But when the Bible is being preached, they are mute and cannot hear.
And the Bible, can you
if we follow after idols, we will become mute, the same as the idols. Amen.
Amen.
In 1 John chapter 5, verse 21, the very last verse of the whole book of John. John the Apostle says, little children, keep yourselves or guard yourselves from idols. It seems a very strange way to finish this letter to his disciples. Because most of the book of 1 John is talking about the love of God. The light of God and the love of God. But then he finishes the whole letter by saying, guard yourself from idols. But when you understand that our God is a jealous God, who will not share his glory with another, and that he calls us to love him with all of our hearts, all of our souls, all of our
strength,
you will realize you cannot afford to have any idols in your heart. If you are going to love the Lord your God with all your heart. And this is the standard God expects of us. And this is the standard you will be judged against at the judgment seat of Christ.
Amen.
One of the most shocking things in the account of the golden calf is the fact that Aaron referred to the golden calf with the holy name of God Almighty. The holy name of God is I Am, Jehovah. We should only speak this name with reverence and humility before God. God says, my name is holy. We must never speak his name, his holy name, in a frivolous manner. But Aaron did not call the golden calf Chemosh or Baal or some other name of some other god. He called the metal golden calf Yahweh, I Am. Exodus 32, verses 4 and 5. Aaron took the gold from their hand, fashioned it with a graving tool, and made it into a molten calf. And the people said, "This is your God, O Israel, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt." Now when Aaron saw this, he built an altar before it. And Aaron made a proclamation and said, "Tomorrow shall be a feast to I Am, to Yahweh." This is a very serious thing that he has done. They identify the idol as the one who has brought them up out of the land of Egypt. But God said, "I am the one who brought you out of the land of Egypt. You shall have no other gods before me." But they identify this piece of metal as the one who has brought them out of the land of Egypt. And they call this piece of metal, I Am, Yahweh. So when the people brought their offerings to the golden calf, who did they think they were bringing their offerings to? Amen. When the people brought their offerings, they thought they were bringing offerings to God Almighty. Just because someone says they are praising Jesus or bringing an offering to God Almighty, does not mean they are actually doing so in reality. There are many people today saying, "I am a minister of Jesus Christ." And they talk about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. But they are actually serving another God, another Jesus, and another Holy Spirit, another Spirit. Amen. But in their minds, they think they are serving the living God. But they have created a God in their own image. They have created a prosperity God. A signs and wonders God. A blessings God. But it is not the God of the Bible. But because they say, "I am a minister of Jesus," and they use the terms God and God the Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, people get deceived into thinking this is a true minister of God. In Acts chapter 7, verses 41 to 43, the deacon Stephen was giving his speech before the Sanhedrin. And he references this situation when they made the golden calf. It says they brought a sacrifice to the idol. And were rejoicing in the works of their hands. They were thinking they were giving offerings to God Almighty. But God turned away from them and delivered them up to serve the host of heaven. As it is written in the book of the prophets, was it to me that you offered sacrifices for 40 years in the wilderness, O Israel? Was it to me? You thought it was to me, but it was not going to me. You took along the tabernacle of Moloch and the star of your god Rompa. The Israelites thought that they were worshipping God. But when we worship God in the wrong way, God will turn away from us and give us up to the worship of the host of heaven. So instead of worshipping Him, we start to worship demons. There are many churches of the golden calf today. Where people praise the Lord very loudly. But the God they are worshipping is not the God of the Bible. Because they have been told that the God that they serve is a God of blessings and miracles and signs and wonders and money. And they start to serve something else. But it is not the God of the Bible. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 4, for if one comes and preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or you receive a different spirit which you have not received before, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you bear this beautifully. The churches today around this world are full of another gospel. Most of the Christian books you can buy are filled with another gospel. In many, many churches, especially the big churches in our countries, they have created another Jesus. And they follow after another spirit. People rush to the front for the pastor to pray for them. So they can be filled with the Spirit, or what they think is the Holy Spirit. Some people describe being touched by some spirit and falling to the ground and experiencing something supernatural. And when people see something supernatural, they rush to be touched and to receive this same Spirit. But it is not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit is holy. Today we have people acting like animals and thrashing around on the floor. This is not God's Holy Spirit. This is another spirit which masquerades as the Holy Spirit. But just because people see something supernatural, they want it. They say that pastor's got power. He's really full of the Holy Spirit. Well, he may be full of a spirit, but it is not the Holy Spirit. And if you want to get past the golden calf, you need to avoid such places like this. When the Bereans in the book of Acts heard the Apostle Paul preaching, the Bible says they took what the Apostle Paul said. And they personally searched the scriptures themselves. To see whether what the Apostle Paul said was true or not. This is your duty as a believer today. Most people, or many people in the church, are lazy. They listen to whatever the man of God at the front says and they accept it as the truth. But the Bible says, test all things, hold to the truth, that which is true. Aaron did not test what the people were saying, he just went along with it. If a pastor in a church starts to preach another Jesus and present another gospel, you need to take what he says and go to the scriptures and find out whether it is true or not. Many years ago, I was an elder in a church in London. And I started to get confused about some of the things the pastor was preaching. So I wrote down what were the main doctrines he was bringing in the church. And I went away just by myself with God and the Bible. And I searched the scriptures to see whether what he said was true or not. Because when you were in the church, it sounded so right. He was a very charismatic personality. And he would use scriptures every now and again. And it would sound true. But when I went to the scriptures, I started to find that what he was speaking was not true at all. The whole process took me 5 months. And I wrote down all my findings on a piece of paper. So I would know what was the thoughts of God on the situation. And I wrote 20 pages of notes. And as I tested what was being preached, I found out that what was being preached was a lie, it was another Jesus. And another gospel. Elders have the duty to watch over the spiritual oversight of the church. It was my duty to go to the pastor to bring him what I had found. In private, not in public. And I sat down with the pastor and tried to go through some of these things. And he got very angry with me. He didn't like me pointing out what he was preaching was wrong. Started getting very angry and loud and, "Whoa, how can you be saying this?" Two days later, we were marched off the church premises. We were cast out of the church. He said that I was a wolf in sheep's clothing. I was trying to split the church so I could have my own church. He commanded everybody they should not contact me and I should be left alone. You need to stand for righteousness. It cost us our reputation and many of our friends at the time. But Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they cast you out of their synagogues." When they call your name evil for my name's sake. For so they treated the prophets in the Old Testament. Amen. If you are a leader, you need to stand for the truth. And if you have an issue with leadership, you need to go privately and speak one to one in private. And genuinely search the scriptures to see what is the truth. Amen. There are many golden calves in the church today. Much of Christianity believes they are worshipping the true God. But they have created another Jesus. The God of the Bible is holy, just, loving, and jealous for the honor of his own name. Our God is holy, and everything we must do as his followers must be holy also. No man can lay a foundation other than the one that has already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus is the rock of our salvation, our foundation. Are you building upon the true rock of our salvation? Or are you building on something that looks like a rock? But when you look closer, it starts to shine in the sunshine. And you actually realize it is a golden calf. Many believers are attending the Church of the Golden Calf every week. They bring their tithes in and lay it down at his golden hooves. And worship what they think is Yahweh, is God Almighty. When in reality they are standing before a golden calf. The Bible says they rose up early, offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. Then the people sat down to eat and to drink, and rose up to play. When you mix the true worship of God with the worship of the golden calf, it leads to frivolity and fleshy worship. When the worship is mixed, it starts to become profane worship. God will only be served and worshipped in a holy manner. He will not allow any man to glory in his presence. I've noticed in Africa you love to dance before the Lord. To worship him with great praise. But in some churches I've been to, the dancing has become a sensual dancing. Where people are not dancing to offer worship unto the Lord, but they're trying to outmaneuver everybody else. And their eyes are not on the Lord, but their eyes are on everybody else to see if they notice it. But you like my moves? God will not share his glory with another. If you're praising the Lord to bring praise to his name, and dancing like David danced before the Lord to honor him, this is good. But if you're doing it to show off to other people, what a great dancer you are. This is profaning the worship of God Almighty. Amen. God is holy, and he will only allow holy worship to come before him. Amen. When we mix idol worship with the worship of the true and living God, It results in fleshy conduct. Because it is not according to the fear of the Lord. And God said he would consume that people. But Moses stood in the gap for them. And in the same way today we have the prophet like Moses, Jesus. Who stands in the gap for us. Many times we act in ignorance. We don't realize what we are doing is sin. But Jesus, our mediator, stands in the gap. And makes intercession for us that we would not be consumed. Moses comes down the mountain. And he sees the children of Israel playing and being crazy. And the Bible says his anger burned. Because he was jealous for the honor of God's name. He was jealous for the honor of God's name, which was being profaned before his eyes. Within a matter of weeks, the people of Israel have broken the covenant. So Moses takes the tablets of the covenant. Written by the very finger of God Almighty on the mountain. And he smashes them. And they are smashed into pieces. God's holy covenant has been broken. And there would be consequences. Exodus 32, verse 20. He took the calf that they had made and burned it with fire and ground it into powder. That gold dust that he had ground, he scattered on the water. And made the children of Israel drink it. If something has been put in the place of God as an idol, it is not enough to just remove it and put it somewhere else. It is something that has provoked the Lord to jealousy. Anything that has been put before him must be destroyed completely. Why did he make them drink the waters? They drank the waters which contained the dust of the golden calf. What goes into the human body must come out of the human body. And this idol had to be profaned in God's eyes. So the very dust of this golden idol had to be identified with what came out of the body of the man. Amen. If anything has been put up before our God as an idol, It must be destroyed completely. In 2 Kings chapter 23 and verse 6, it says that King Josiah brought out the Ashtoreth pole from the house of the Lord outside Jerusalem. He brought out the Ashtoreth pole. An idol, a wooden idol, had been placed into the very temple of God Almighty. It was not enough just to take that thing away and tidy it somewhere else, because it had become an idol which provoked the Lord to jealousy. King Josiah took it outside of Jerusalem to the brook Kidron. And he burned it. And then he ground it into powder. And he took the dust and he threw the dust of it onto the graves of the common people. To show that that Ashtoreth pole, that idol, was now defiled completely. God is jealous for the honor of His own name. He will share His glory with no other. In Acts chapter 14, verse 14, Paul and Barnabas were preaching to the people at Lystra. And God did a great miracle in healing a man there through the Apostle Paul. And when the people saw the power of God manifested through their ministry, they said, "The gods have come down to us in human form." And they went out to bring sacrifices and offer sacrifices before Paul and Barnabas. What did Paul and Barnabas do when they heard what the people were planning to do? They tore their clothes and rushed out into the crowd. They dared not take any glory for themselves. Because they knew that God is a jealous God. They could not stand at the front and receive any of the adulation of men. They realized the serious situation they were in. Because God could break out against them in judgment. So they tore their robes, pleaded with the people, "Do not do this thing. Give the glory to God." And with difficulty they convinced them. There are many people in the church today who love the praise of men. And when they say, "The man of God is in the house," and they all start praising the man of God in the house. "Oh, you are so wonderful. Praise God for you, Pastor. You're wonderful." And it starts to go from gratitude to worship of the man. If a man receives that worship from the people, He has become the idol which provokes the Lord to jealousy. It is one thing to be grateful and to be generous to the man of God. It's another thing to put him on a pedestal and worship him. Amen.
Amen.
Do not worship the man of God in the house. And if you see a man in the stage expecting the worship of men, receiving the adulation of men, run out of that place. Because that's the golden calf.
Amen.
Amen. We don't want to be associated with the golden calf. Amen. Exodus chapter 32. Verses 25 to 26. Now when Moses saw the people were out of control, for Aaron had let them get out of control and become a laughing stock to their enemies, then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Whoever is for Yahweh, come to me." How we need leaders like Moses today. Who will say, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And the sons of Levi gathered together to him. And Moses said, "Every man strap his sword to his thigh." Every man take his sword. Go back and forth throughout the camp. And every man kill his brother, his friend, his neighbor. And there was a massacre of 3,000 people. Because the judgment of God had to fall.
Yeah.
Because the people had sinned a great sin. And order had to be restored to the camp of the living God. God is looking for his sons of Levi today. Who will not care for the consequences of their actions, but will put Yahweh and the love of God first and the fear of God first in their lives. And they will obey God rather than man. They will be willing to stand for the truth, even if it means they're thrown out of the church. They would rather be jealous for the honor of God's name than worship a golden calf. They would rather be found in the small minority who stand for the truth. Than with the great crowd who are worshipping the golden calf. God is telling us today to take up our sword. This is your sword. We defeat every lofty argument by the word of God. Our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against every lofty argument and persuasive argument which stands against the counsel of God. Test everything with the word of God.
Yeah.
Test everything, hold on to that which is true. Be a son of Levi today, who loves God more than their brother, their friend, their neighbor. In Malachi chapter 2, verses 4 to 6, God says, "My covenant may continue with Levi, says the Lord of hosts." My covenant with him was one of life and peace, and I gave it to him for reverence because he reverenced me. He stood in awe of my name. True instruction was found in his mouth. And unrighteousness was not found on his mouth. He walked with me in peace and uprightness. And he turned many back from the way of iniquity. God is looking for his sons of Levi today. Who will stand with him in the gate of the camp, who are zealous for the honor of the Lord God Almighty and his name only, who will use their sword, the word of God, to defeat every lofty thing that has been put up against the knowledge of God. They will cut out this golden calf and this wrong doctrine from the church. Men who will not care for the praises of men, but they will look for the glory of God. And because they make a stand, they turn others back from unrighteousness. We need men of God who will make a stand today. Against all the golden calves and all the wrong doctrines being preached in our churches. To be men of truth in our generation. To be a true son of Levi. In Jeremiah 33. Verse 18. God says, "The Levitical priest shall never lack a man to be stand before me." To offer burnt offerings and offer grain offerings before me. Today we do not offer the sacrifices of Moses, the law of Moses. But we bring spiritual sacrifices unto the temple of God. God is looking for his children of Levi, who will offer up spiritual sacrifices unto their God. And will turn many back from the iniquity that they have engaged in. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let us pray.